Would you bow your heads with me on this Sunday morning? Father in heaven, here and now, through the work of your Holy Spirit, we want to hear your words. We want to hear what Jesus has to say to us. And Lord, enable us to apply these words to our life. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, along with Christians throughout the entire world, we are celebrating Trinity Sunday. As I pointed out, we have a beautiful hanging banner, three colors, making up one cross, a symbol of our God. Now, what sets Christianity apart from any other religion on earth is the teaching of the Holy Trinity. God is three, but yet one. God is one, but yet three. Now, Abraham is the founding father of three world religions: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Only Christianity has the teaching of the Holy Trinity, adamantly rejecting the idea of a Trinity or Jesus being God Almighty. Would be Judaism and Islam. Now, even within the Christian culture, we have cults that will and do not teach the Trinity or that Jesus is God, like Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Unitarians, Christian Scientists. They would vehemently deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. I must admit, it's not easy to comprehend or to understand the idea of something being one, but yet three. Now, if I were speaking to young children, like maybe in an object lesson, I would maybe bring out an egg. What is this, an egg? But isn't it an eggshell, an egg yolk, and an egg white? Yeah, three, but yet one. Now, for those who are a little more mature, maybe with more education, I might talk about a molecule. A molecule is where atoms, singular, come together and make a molecule. I could talk about water being two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. And it can be a solid, a liquid, and a gas. Now, for those who are a little more educated, have maybe some more science behind them, I could talk about just the atom. On a chart where we have so many different chemical compounds, an atom is made up of protons, electrons, and neutrons. The electron is different than the neutron. The neutron is different than the proton. But yet it takes three to make one atom. But those are not suffice. We do not believe in the Holy Trinity because of nature. Although God's thumbprint is all around us in nature. We believe in the Holy Trinity. If you take anything home with you this morning, we believe in the Holy Trinity because of the Word of God. That we all stood up this morning and professed to be the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. From the first verse in the Bible, it is God who explains the Trinity. In the beginning, Elohim. Now, the term in Hebrew for God is El. Elohim, the Him, is plural. In the first verse of the Bible, this is what we learn. God, who created the heavens and the earth, is plural. But yet, singular. Elohim. Now, that's explained clearly in the Bible a few verses later. When God said, let us, who is he talking to? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Second verse of the Bible, and the Spirit of God hovered over creation. Verse 3, and the voice of God, the breath of God, the Word of God made flesh in John chapter 1. But in verse 26 of Genesis, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And God created a male and female in his image. So if you're here this morning and you're a mature Christian, I could say to you, are you not three but yet one? Do you not say me, myself, and I? Do you not have a body, a mind, and a soul? And hopefully as a mature Christian, you'd say, I do. And you all look at Scripture. And when the Ten Commandments were given, we looked at it this morning, God says, now listen, when it comes to love, when it comes to worshiping me, it can't be a part of you. It can't be half of you. When it comes to putting me number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your body, all your soul, and all your mind. God clearly says there's three of you, and it takes three of you to worship me, who is three, but yet one. We believe in the Holy Trinity because of what the Bible says about our God who created the heavens and the earth. We believe in the Holy Trinity because what Jesus says about God when he became flesh and dwelt among us. Nobody argues that the Father is God Almighty. But when it comes to Jesus being God Almighty on earth in flesh, it was the Pharisees who had a great problem with that. They picked up stones to stone him, and Jesus says, which of these miracles do you want to stone me for? Oh, we don't want to stone you because of miracles. We want to stone you because you all the time keep telling us you're God. You claim to be God Almighty. As Thomas fell down, my Lord and my God, Jesus controlled the wind and the waves. He was all powerful. He knew what the Pharisees, the disciples, were thinking. He was all knowing. He would raise somebody from the dead. He had the attributes of God. He claimed to be God. The disciples worshiped him as God. And at his baptism, the Father said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the Holy Spirit came from heaven and dwelt upon him. The Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent, said, I'll send you the Comforter, the Counselor, who will remind you of all the things I have said and will lead you into all truth. He has all truth, that is the Holy Spirit. And when Ananias and Sapphira decided to sell some property and give it to the church to help the church out for their purpose of making disciples, they lied about it. And Peter says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? If you sell the property, give it all like you said you were going to do. And then he says, you know, you haven't lied to man. You have lied to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last week we celebrated, did we not? Pentecost, the giving and the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I stood before you with a baggie, a Ziploc bag. And I put cotton balls in it and I sealed it. And I said, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. It is the Holy Spirit, God Almighty inside of you, that shows you your sin and your need of a Savior. And when God looks down the Father, He looks through you and sees the Holy Spirit and He says, justified. But that's not where God wants you. He wants you to overflow and multiply like a human embryo, born again from the inside out. And the cotton balls, like Jiffy Pop, should be flying out. What do those balls represent? Faith, trust, service, love, doing things within the church. The cotton balls should be flying out. But with that, we have to speak. We're in a series called Households. What is your household like? Is it biblical? 3 Sundays ago, I said, we have to put on the but God glasses. In your life, good or bad, do you see God and what He's doing? Pentecost, I spoke to you about with the but glasses on, but God glasses. We got to now speak, be Pentecostal. Speak of the mighty works of God, what He has done in the world, what He has done in our life. He has done great things for you, and you know it. Do you share that with your children and grandchildren? We have to put on the but God glasses. We got to speak of what God has done to everybody who will listen. We've got to voice it. Today, I want to speak to you about one thing you should voice: your faith, your knowledge, what you believe about the Holy Trinity. That God is three, but yet one. You must explain it to your children and your grandchildren. You can't just say, I believe in God. You have to say, I believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which the Bible proclaims. Why? Because words are so important. Like the little girl who after church came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, why don't you include the whole West Coast? What do you mean? He says, well, you start and you close the service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the whole East Coast. Now you know why we don't use the Holy Ghost anymore. A better word is Spirit, the wind, the breath. And the Spirit found in Scripture. Words are so important. Listen, the Holy Trinity is not found in the Bible. The term Trinity is not found in the Bible. We use it as a word to describe our God. Bible is not found in the Scriptures. But we use the term Bible to explain this book. Rapture is not found in the Bible. We use it to describe the second coming of Jesus. Second coming is not found in the Bible. The only thing in the Bible is Jesus says, I'm coming again. There are terms in Christendom that we use to describe our doctrine. But not everybody believes it. It's like the gentleman who is in solitary confinement. Total darkness in a prison cell. The only thing he had was a marble. And he'd roll the marble. And to go look for it was the only purpose he had in life. And as he said, it kept him from going insane because he had to go look for the marble when he'd roll it without any light. And one day he thought, I'll try something different. I'm going to throw it up and look for it. And he threw it up, and it never came down. He searched frantically for it all around, and he never found the marble. And he began to go insane because what happened to the marble? He couldn't find it. He searched every inch of that prison cell, and he went insane and he died. But that did not negate the truth. They carried him out, and a guard came in with a light. And as he looked up, he couldn't believe that there was a marble stuck in a spider web. And he thought to himself, how could a spider, a tiny little spider, carry something thousands of times more heavy than him up into his spider web? And why would he do that? And he left. Now, just because he couldn't understand how that marble got in the spider web does not negate the truth of how it got there. There are a lot of people who have lost their marbles over the teaching of the Holy Trinity. I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It does not negate the truth of Holy Scripture, the words of Jesus, the words of the Holy Spirit from within. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And throughout the history of Christendom, there are experts that deny it. That's why it is the apostles who gave us the Apostles' Creed that teaches the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was the churches that came together in Nicaea and gave us the Nicene Creed and said, listen, there are so many heresies out there today that Jesus is not God. There is no Trinity. We're going to come together and give us a confession for all churches for the future and today. And they gave us the Nicene Creed. You think two would have been enough? Then the heresies continued. No different than today. Among Christians or so-called Christian churches, I mentioned them. They vehemently deny the Holy Trinity. And so we came up with the Athanasian Creed to finally solidify it, what all Christians as one believe. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Paul in our epistle reading makes it perfectly clear in his blessing. But what you need to take home with you is the words of Jesus. When it comes to the church, my church, that he says he built and the gates of hell will not overcome it, is that when you baptize a child, an adult, this is how you're going to do it. Listen up. You're going to take water and apply my words. Baptism is not just simple water. It's water connected to words. What are the words? The words of the most powerful name on earth. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who are equal. One God. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, when it says, worship the Lord your God, one God, that is a unity. Just like a man and a woman become one. There's nothing that should promote the togetherness of a man and a woman not to ever part than the unity of our God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You never have the Spirit complaining about the Son, or the Son complaining about the Father, or the Father complaining about the Son or the Holy Spirit. They are one. They are one. They're co-equal and in purpose. Nothing should keep a church together more than the faith and the teaching of their God. We are one. We are united as our God is united. We are united in word. We are united in sacrament. We are united in purpose to make disciples. And it begins with your children, my children. It begins with your grandchildren and my grandchildren. Speak the words. When's the last time you sat down with any child and explained the Holy Trinity? When's the last time you were at a family gathering and you said, hey, does anybody here not understand the Holy Trinity? Speak it. Proclaim it. Be proud of it. I am the proudest Christian around. I believe in the Holy Trinity. Do you? I know you do. But now it's time to speak it. It's time to teach it. Teaching all that I have commanded you. We're good at proclaiming it. We got to be good at teaching it. That's what Trinity Sunday is all about. We want to make it clear to everyone, anybody listening, what our Savior Lutheran Church teaches. The Holy Trinity. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for your unity. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for moving us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating the world and giving it as an example of who you are. Your handiwork. But the cream of the crop is every man, woman, and child. We have a mind. We have a soul. We have a body. And that's how we worship you. May we never forget the voice that we have and the teaching that we have in our mind and the body that we have to go forth into families, marriages, work, wherever we be, and we can be Pentecostal and share the mighty works of our one and only true God. Help us, Lord, to be Trinity Sunday people and Trinity proclaiming people also. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.